The Lord be with you. Greetings, Marullus, from your friend Pilate in Gaul. Yes, Gaul of all places. After that farce of a trial that Caligula put me through, our illustrious emperor decreed that I needed to spend more time with my family, to relax, to get away from my worries. And what better place to get away from my worries than Gaul? Gaul, where with each breath I take, my worries faint under the aroma of the natives' annual bathing habits. And yet Gaul is 100 times better than that city of death where you are, Marullus. I ruled Jerusalem for 10 years, longer than any other prefect. So if you want to know the truth about ruling Judea for Rome, hear the words of this letter. I marched into Jerusalem, a proud soldier of Rome. My soldiers wore their finest army. They marched in perfect unison. They descended upon the city like a molten river of iron and carried high above this raw display of imperial power were carried the standards of Rome and our symbols, the outstretched eagle, the face of Caesar. But as we approached the city, a single Jewish priest stood at the gates and warned us to remove the graven images from our standards lest we offend the one true God. The one true God. The only truth is power. Can you imagine the audacity to claim that the God of a conquered people would dare object to the image of the divine Caesar? Naturally, I laughed at the priest and his pathetic God, and we carried the images into the city. And from that day forward, I have lived in Hades. The Jews began rioting in the streets. I tried to reason with them to explain that a God who cannot lead his people to victory in the battlefield is not a God worth following. But they are stubborn people. After 5 days, I threatened to start killing them one by one until the crowds dispersed. But with every Jew I killed, the rest only became strengthened in their resolve until I realized these people are crazy. They would rather die than see their God disrespected. And so I removed the images. But my troubles did not end there. The Jews refused to offer sacrifice to the cult of Caesar. They refused to use the money that I minted because the coins bear the image of Caesar. Even whips can't sway them from their obsession with resting on the Sabbath. One of my centurions had to stoop so low as to be nice to the Jews before one of them would heal his son on the Sabbath. And every year the festival of Passover comes, and with it every single crazed Jew in the empire, and they eat their flat bread, and they drink their wine, and they tell each other that next year we will dine in a free Jerusalem. And then, drunk on wine and stories and patriotism, they all run out into the streets determined to set Jerusalem free that very instant. And then every year my soldiers' swords remind them why they are not free. Why Caesar is their one true king and God. And so it went for 9 years. And then, early one morning before the festival of Passover, I heard a pounding at the gates of my headquarters. It was the high priest and his lackeys. I woke fearing another Seder riot, and so I ordered that the priest be brought in, but no, he wouldn't dare defile himself with my presence before the festival of Passover, before their high holy day. So I was forced to go out to him. He threw at my guards a young Jewish peasant. I was in no mood to deal with their riffraff. I said, deal with this criminal yourself. But the priest objected. We are not permitted to put anyone to death. Well, that got my attention. I'd been killing Jews for 9 years. This is the first time they offered to help. The priest explained that this peasant claimed to be the king of the Jews. I didn't care. But he had managed to tick off the priests, and so that made me kind of like him. He said, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom was from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the priests. But my kingdom is not from here." Certainly didn't sound like a threat to Rome. Still, it amused me that a man in rags would claim to have a kingdom. So when I pressed him on the issue, he said, "You say that I am a king, but for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Another crackpot philosopher ranting about truth when he can't even explain what it is. We Romans know the only truth is power. So I went outside. I told the priest I couldn't find anything wrong with him, legally at least. But the priest demanded that I crucify him. So I tried appealing to the crowd that had gathered. I said, "Look, if you want, I will pardon this man and release him." But the priests had whipped up the crowd into a mob, and they demanded blood. Well, blood is what the legionnaires deliver best. So I handed him over to my men, and they worked him over for a while until I felt he was sufficiently humiliated. And once more, I presented him to the crowds, but they kept chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." I said, "Why? What crime has he done?" They said, "He claims to be the Son of God." Which is weird, but Rome doesn't care. So I went back inside to go release the man, but as I went, the high priest followed me in. He said to me, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Anyone who calls himself a king sets himself against the emperor." And with that, he grabbed the brooch from my toga, the brooch which had on it the image of Caesar's face, and the high priest held it up to the crowd and said, "We have no king but Caesar." And the crowd roared back, "We have no king but Caesar." For 9 years, I could not get them to swear such an oath with swords at their throats, but in a single morning, this man from Nazareth gets the city of Jerusalem to reject its faith and swear loyalty to Caesar. This man has power. Truly, this man is the king of the Jews. I wanted to know where he was from, where he got this power from, but he wouldn't tell me. And ultimately, I didn't care. I was giddy. I was finally going to bring Roman peace to Jerusalem, and all I had to do was let the Jewish priests kill their own king? The absurdity of it was overwhelming. So giddily, I began to write signs in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin saying, "This is the king of the Jews." And as I was writing those signs, a young Roman boy walked up to me slowly and said, "Why is Daddy hurting the man who healed me?" I stared closely at the boy. This was the centurion's son. The boy who would have died had it not been for a Jewish healer who cared more for a foreigner's life than for his own reputation. And sure enough, his father was nailing the man to the cross. The heartbreak, the pain and confusion in the boy's eyes, it broke my own heart. So I lied to him. I said, "This isn't the same man. This isn't the man who helped you." But the boy knew the truth. "He is Jesus of Nazareth. I was broken. He made me whole." And then, unafraid, the little boy walked past the dying screams of all the crucified. He went up to his father and tugged his cloak. The centurion had just finished nailing the man's feet, and when he looked down, he saw his son, and suddenly he recognized the man on the cross, and in that moment, he realized what he had done. He dropped the hammer. He picked up his son, and he walked away. Just like that. He abandoned his post. He left the soldiers under his command. Even his helmet lay forgotten in the sand. One of my most loyal officers in the emperor's army, utterly vanquished. And he wasn't alone. A small crowd had gathered at the foot of the cross, but no longer did they mock the man. Now they wept for him. Some of my soldiers were even affixing a sponge to the end of a spear to serve the dying man wine. For years, I had ordered my soldiers to kill Jews in order to assert Roman authority, but now I let the priests kill one of their own, and suddenly my soldiers lay down their swords. I gave up. I walked away. Let this king of the Jews rule from beyond the grave if he is so powerful. The details from the rest of that day are hard to remember. I know I walked the streets of Jerusalem alone and anonymous. I know that waking and sleeping blurred together in a dusty ditch. I know that I encountered legionnaires on patrol and I tried to identify myself as Pilate, but all I heard was Roman laughter and felt a Roman sandal in my spine. When my mind cleared, I was in a Jewish home. My face had been cleaned, and there was a Jewish woman washing my feet. I said, "Why are you doing this?" And she answered, "Because my Lord did the same for me." "Who is your Lord?" "Jesus of Nazareth." Shame washed over me. Guilt filled my gut. I vowed in that moment never to govern again. I could not be trusted. I decided I would just assent to every request that was brought forward to me. And so the next day, a Jewish man asked for permission to bury the Nazarene's body, and I said yes. And a few months later, my commanders came and asked permission to use force to quell a Samaritan uprising, and I said yes. And because of that, 3,000 Samaritans died. For that brutality, Vitellius stripped me of my post. For that brutality, Caligula, yes, Caligula of all people, exiled me for negligence. I mean, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. I'm not the one who gave the highest political office in Rome to my horse. Though admittedly, the horse is doing a better job than Caligula. But that's another matter. For the last year, I have sat here in Gaul with these starving wretches doing nothing. Until last week. The same day your letter arrived, I was walking through the marketplace. And as I was walking through the marketplace, lo and behold, I saw the centurion and his boy. They were sharing bread with the poor and telling them of their hope in Jesus. I ran up to the former centurion and said, "What are you doing? Don't you know that you are a deserter? If you are discovered, you will be killed." The man looked at me with compassion in his eyes. He said, "I killed the Son of God, the man who gave my son life. The least I can do is live as my king did." A continent away, and a year later, and the King of the Jews still reigns. Perhaps there is truth in this Jesus of Nazareth. Perhaps the only true power is caring for others. Marullus, I have decided to journey with the centurion and his boy, though it will mean violating the terms of my exile. I do not hope to escape the notice of Rome. I hope only to be remembered as a man who lived in service of the one true king, and not as the man under whom the Son of God died. Amen.